Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, New Vrindavan, 1969. The Greatest Scholar. Prabhupada then glorified Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was a boy when his father died. He wanted to go to his uncles, Rup and Sanatana in Vrindavan, but he thought, what service can I do? I'll just be a burden. He then went to Benares to study and became the greatest scholar the world has ever seen. It has been said that there has never been a scholar as great as Jiva Goswami, nor in the future will there be a scholar as great as he. My comment. We had heard of Jiva Goswami even in those days, but we only knew of him as one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and the nephew of Rup Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. I immediately became attracted to Srila Jiva Goswami because of Prabhupada's glorification. Years later, while living in Vrindavan, I was fortunate enough to glimpse from a distance the great piercing sharpness of Sri Jiva's shastric and logical explanations of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Jiva Goswami's knowledge of the Bhagavatam is so complete that it has been compared to a man holding a walnut in the fist of his hand. Two incidents of answering from hearing and reading. Prabhupada asked a simple question. What is the name? What is the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eight written stanzas? The room was quiet. I called out, Shikastak. Pronouncing it Shikastak as opposed to Shikshastakam. I was imitating Prabhupada's Bengali pronunciation, which I had heard on a tape that had been distributed to the temples. Pradyumna, who also sat nearby, then answered Shikastakam, pronouncing it Shikshastakam, as if translated from Sanskrit. My comment. Prabhupada understood my pronunciation and accepted my answer, but the other devotees couldn't understand what I had said because they had only seen the word written, not heard it pronounced by Prabhupada. Prabhupada then mentioned how Brahma had first heard Gayatri directly from Krishna. He again questioned the devotees, which Gayatri mantra did Krishna bestow on Brahma? No one answered. I called out, Kama Gayatri. Prabhupada nodded in approval and replied, you may utter it. Then I became confused and recited the Brahma Gayatri by mistake. Prabhupada shook his head. Prabhupada described Lord Brahma's initiation by Krishna into Kama Gayatri in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and had even mentioned the mantra. That book was published in 1969. And I had already read it. I was thrilled to be able to answer Prabhupada's question, but I lacked the surety to reply with the proper mantra. I remember at this time feeling inspired to deeply hear, study, learn, and remember the scriptures in preparation for Prabhupada's future examinations. Just like Narendra Malik, a branch of the Krishna consciousness movement had begun spontaneously in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in 1968. One youth had met the devotees in New York City, chanted with them, gone home to Atlantic City, and started all his friends chanting. As a result of his spontaneous attraction to Krishna's name, many devotees joined ISKCON, but he himself never joined. Prabhupada asked Brahmananda about this boy with whom Brahmananda had been in contact from 26 Second Avenue. When Brahmananda explained that the boy could not adopt a Krishna conscious lifestyle, Prabhupada said it reminded him of his own past. Prabhupada relaxed. He leaned back and gracefully moved his right arm over the top of his head until his hand touched his left ear. He explained that because he had seen so many cheating sadhus as a youth, he had no interest in sadhus while he was a young man. But his friend, Narendra Mullick, literally forced him to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Prabhupada concluded, although I did not take initiation from my Guru Maharaj for 6 years after this first meeting, I always thought of him from that first meeting onward. Then he added, just like Narendra Mullick brought me to my Guru Maharaj, but he himself could not take his shelter. This boy has brought so many others, but he could not himself join. My comment. Prabhupada's mood as he drew the parallel between Narendra Mullick and the Atlantic City boy was attractive, sweet, and mysterious. Hearing him speak made me think about my own case. Why me and not others? Many of my friends had begun chanting, but then quickly dropped Krishna consciousness for other pursuits. Why? Many were more intelligent and seemed more sincere in their quest for the truth than me. Why does one soul stay and another leave? The Nectar of Devotion describes that devotional service is cultivated through many lives. Each soul has its own unique Krishna conscious history. By the mercy of the Vaishnavas, a soul makes his Krishna conscious start by hearing the holy name, seeing a holy Vaishnava book, taking prasad, or performing service, even unknowingly, to a Vaishnava. Thus, a Vaishnava connects a soul with the Lord's internal energy. From that point, a soul can only move forward. His Krishna conscious credit is eternal and will increase. One soul may be hearing about Krishna for the first time, whereas someone else, apparently coming to Krishna consciousness at the same time, may actually be further along the path. Compassionate devotees should therefore loudly chant Krishna's holy names and distribute prasada and books as widely as possible without being attached to the results. Krishna conscious piety will be bestowed on many, many hearts. And when a soul's time comes, his fortune will manifest by attraction to serve Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and their devotees. We'll end here. Hare Krishna.